It's The Record from KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman.
I'm Steve Scher. Chances are, if you're listening to KUOW right now, you're a fan of news and information. You like to know what's happening in the world around you. You tune to public radio because you believe it's a trustworthy news source. We say that sort of stuff to you twice a year during our pledge drives, but what exactly is news? A regurgitation of facts about fires, traffic accidents, celebrity gossip, Watergate-like investigations into alleged government malfeasance?
Alain de Botton says in 2014, news occupies a position of power at least equal to that held by religion. And that's not a good thing, he says. He's written about it in his latest book, The News, A User's Manual. Alain de Botton told me his definition of news. It's information that comes at us through news organizations, information that people do not go out and get for themselves through their own faculties. And he says the flood of information comes too much, too fast, too often. I had a chance to sit down with Alain de Botton last week, and he told me part of what contributes to our lack of understanding of news is the way we consume it.
For most people, the last thing they do at night is check the phone, and the first thing they do in the morning is check the phone. The average American user looks at a news website on their phone 5 times a day. That's a lot of looking on the phone. What are they looking for? What are we all looking for?
Well, isn't it a good thing to be aware of the world around us?
It's hugely important to be aware of the world around us. The question is, what's the best way of being aware? Is it through an update every 5 minutes? Or is it by reading, you know, a long book of history that was written in 1850. The news is premised on the idea that what is new, what is novel, is by definition more significant than, you know, something older. But I think really what should govern us, the audience, is an interest in what is important. And what is important sometimes was written 2,000 years ago. So this is something, of course, the news never tells us. The news is premised on the idea that, you know, it's news, so it's important.
You wrote that the news has, in a sense, replaced religion in contemporary society. And I wondered if you could explain a little bit what you meant by that.
Well, it's an idea that I got from the German philosopher Hegel, who said that a nation becomes modern when people on a Sunday stop going to church and stay at home and read the paper. And, well, we're way past that state now. But I think it's not just when you take in the news. It's something deeper. It's really about authority. If you think about the news, it is an incredibly authoritative medium. Think of the language, the choreography around the news. It's really saying, you know, this is reality. Listen up, guys. This is what's happening. It never does that more modest thing, which is to say, look, at the end of the day, we are not the news. We are some news masquerading as the news. I mean, think of the New York Times during the financial crisis or just before it. In 2006, there was their strapline, all the news that's fit to print, 20 blocks from their headquarters, was unfolding the greatest, you know, malfeasance in the history of American finance. And there they are claiming that they've got it all down in print. It's a massive arrogance. And, you know, in a way, that's one of my targets of the book. It's this kind of assumption that the news has worked it all out. And of course it hasn't. And we, as citizenry, need to keep our wits about us desperately, because otherwise we'll keep walking past some enormous stories.
I'm speaking with Alain de Botton, and his new book is called The News, A User's Guide. You're not saying that we as contemporary human beings on this planet don't need to know about things, that we have enough from volumes that were written 2,000 years ago, are you?
No, we desperately need to know what went on in the past and what's going on now. The question is, how are we going to get the information that we can use? And, you know, I was just at the airport watching CNN, and, you know, flight was delayed, so I had an hour of CNN. This stuff is made to drive you crazy. Every 40 seconds, the topic changes. You can't quite switch off or look away, because there is something mesmerizing about it. It's constantly saying, you know, it's important. And yet, at the end of it, you are unnourished. And look, ultimately, the goal of news is to help the individual and the nation to find the information that's going to help them to flourish, that's going to be really properly useful to them. That's the dream of news. And I believe in that dream. Don't get me wrong. I just think that contemporary news, despite our fiber optic cables, our satellite dishes, etc., it's not doing its job. We are, you know, it's like the food industry. We're very used to the idea that, you know, the American food industry is corrupt in many ways. It does not serve up the nutrition that we need. In the world of the media, we see the same picture. We are an undernourished nation. There's a lot of it around. It's not feeding us properly.
Is it that we've diced and sliced it into short bits, or is it that within those short bits, you are not getting what you need?
Length has something to do with it. I think ultimately, in order for a news story to have its proper impact on us, it can't merely be a set of facts. And journalism schools turn out people who think that the news is really all about gathering data and putting it in front of people, telling people how many people died or etc. And this kind of information frequently does not have a proper impact on people, because in order for something to have impact, it needs to become subject to what I call the rules of art. Now, I don't mean fancy art and, you know, going to the theater, but what I mean by that is that art is a medium designed to get facts and information more deeply into our hearts and minds. And, you know, take the way that people will behave when they go and see a performance of King Lear. They'll go and see King Lear at the theater, and they might be crying and unable to sleep that night, thinking about it, etc. And then they'll listen to a report on the news that tells them 200 people have died in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and they won't bat an eyelid, and they'll be asleep 10 minutes later. So in other words, that's telling you something about how human beings work. We can't get interested in the deaths of people whose lives we never understood. We can't care about the disruptive incident in a place whose steady state we didn't understand. And all these things the news gathering machine tends to forget, which is why it leaves us very often feeling, am I a little bit sick, boring, spoiled? Because I can't seem to care. You know, I know that Central Africa's a mess, but frankly, I'd rather just keep up with Kim and what she's doing.
Well, you know, Ellen, one thing that this book made me think about when you were talking about a story, a gripping story, was a dramatist who had lived in Seattle for a while, Mike Daisy, who attracted extreme vitriol after he did a one-man performance called The Agony and Ecstasy of Steve Jobs. And it was about what happens in the factories in China where all the Apple devices are made. And he took dramatic liberties, because he's a dramatist, he's not a journalist, but he felt that he was being true to the spirit of the story, and that caused this firestorm. And so are you saying that we, to make an impact, we can fudge details or elaborate a little bit more?
Look, I think one of the great journalists of 20th century America is Norman Mailer. And Norman Mailer was powerful in part because he wrote not the standard journalism that, you know, you'll find in the New York Times or whatever, but he put flesh and blood on these incidents. Occasionally, he did things like merge two people into one. There's a famous moment where he does that. You know, some people can say, well, that's the most terrible thing. You know, he's betrayed the canon of journalism. I'm prepared to be a little more relaxed about that, because I think that he's being truthful about the bigger picture, and that may require a little distortion. I mean, we're on shifting ground, and it's dodgy because that, you know, that could be a license for people making stuff up, you know, left, right, and center. But I think the essential point is, what is the primary skill of a journalist to be? And I think the primary skill is not merely to collect the data, but it's to make sense of that data and to make the audience care about that data, because that's what's so sorely lacking in the American news machine. We've got all this data, but people don't care about it.
Why take up this topic now?
Well, I think all of us have reached a stage, probably, where we're aware that something's gone a bit strange with our consumption of news. I think the smartphone has been a really big part of it. But I think we're aware that we do not get away from this stuff for more than a few hours at a time. We are always on. And that's not merely a coincidence. Oh, we're always on. That's where the news has always wanted us. You know, it just wasn't able to get us there. The news has always tried to suggest that it is in control of the important truths that follow a constant ongoing program, and we need to be up with it. And technology has now allowed that dream of the news to come true. And I think it's having a serious impact on our inner lives. I think that we're having to become more conscious consumers of this stuff. You know, at school, we're taught a little bit about how to look at pictures and take in literature, etc. But no one systematically takes us through the business of news consumption. So we grow up and think this stuff is normal. It's deeply weird. And it has led the American people into a number of disasters. At the end of the day, 80% of Americans still get most of their news from five big machines. So for all the Twitter and all the Facebooks, etc., we're still talking about an unbelievable monopoly of information, which makes it capable that the nation will walk past some very important insights into its own functioning. And that's very dangerous because democracy has always been connected up with a healthy news source. You can't imagine a healthy democracy without a healthy, flourishing news situation. And arguably, we're not there.
And I assume that you're including public radio in this gang of monopolists of our attention.
Look, I'm a great fan and a great admirer, but not an uncritical one. And I think that too often organizations like NPR and like the BBC like to think, well, look, we're kind of above everybody else. They're the dirty guys and they're all biased, for example, and we're not biased. We just present the audience with the facts in a dispassionate way and they can go away and make up their minds. I think around many very important issues, the trick is not to do away with all bias, because people need bias. What is bias? Bias is a way of interpreting events, trying to make sure we know what they mean, what they're about, what they're for. And particularly in the UK, my own country, the BBC is so committed to not having any bias that it leaves many of its audiences confused as to what the meaning of life is. I mean, there was a famous moment, they were doing a piece on genital mutilation, and because they always need to be biased, they had somebody who was very against genital mutilation, and then in the interest of balance, they had to have somebody who was very pro it. You know, it's almost like if they were covering genocide, they'd have someone pro and someone anti. The vision of the audience is a little patronizing. The idea is almost, we couldn't possibly tell our listeners what to think, because A, they would believe it totally, and B, they would be utterly unable to spot anything they didn't like. They would merely sort of be our helpless victims. And I don't think that's true. All of us are very good at spotting things we don't want to hear. So I think sometimes the very powerful position of NPR and the BBC, we're living in a very aggressive marketplace of news. And people like Fox, etc., they don't mind getting out there and saying, you should think this is good and this is bad. And at the very same time, the polite and clever organizations like NPR and BBC are terribly polite and they speak very, very gently. And sometimes I fear that, the good guys are being very, very restrained and out there, they're getting beaten up and no one's really listening anymore because they've been so polite and so educated.
It's not very surprising that reviews in many news outlets of your book have not been positive. Some have been quite scathing, but most frequently what I've seen is this demand that you present a better alternative, which I feel like you have done right here. What do you think about the alternative that you've presented is not being understood by those news outlets?
Look, I think journalists are a very defensive bunch and they're feeling very defensive because they're under huge financial pressures, etc. And I've come along at a time and I'm telling them, guys, I'm not going to talk about your finances. I'm going to talk about how you look at the job, the way you're doing your jobs. And it's not good enough. You know, we can be more ambitious about how we do news. And to many people, harassed people in newsrooms, that sounds like, ooh, that's just one, demand too many. But I genuinely feel that we are possibly at the edge of a new age when we'll be getting cleverer about how information is divulged, because it's not working now. And I'm not talking about the business model. I know that's got problems and lots of people have written about that. But as I say, stick around with CNN, look at Upworthy for an afternoon, stick on BuzzFeed for a while and ask yourself sincerely, have you got the information that you needed to become an informed and well-functioning citizen? And I don't think the answer is yes. That's why I wrote the book.
Alain de Botton is the author of The News, A User's Manual. I'm Marcy Silman with Steve Scherr. You're listening to some of the news here on KUOW. We've got some more news coming up, right?
Yes, I hope so. I hope it fits with Alain de Botton's definition. I hope we're doing the right thing.